Morning, church. It's been a while. For those of you who celebrate the Mid-Autumn Festival, 中秋节快乐. I got it right, huh? Okay. I practiced quite a fair bit on that. As we load up the slides, this morning I feel really humbled. I'm very grateful because this month I finished my first year preaching cycle in our church. Thank you, Joseph, and thank you. I'm not worthy, but I'm very thankful to God for using me to serve Him. Thankful to the church, Pastor John as well, for giving me these opportunities. Thankful for many of you who have been encouraging me and praying for me and giving me strength. And thankful for my wife as well, who records these sermons so my family back home in India, they can hear the Word of God. Please pray for them so that they can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, this morning, I also need your help because we're going to do some activities together. And the only help I need from you is to clear away all the tensions and baggages and problems in your mind and your heart and to really focus. Our first activity is called Fill in the Blanks. It's very simple. I'm going to pop some questions on the screen. And all you have to do is answer these questions in your heart truthfully. Here we go. Next year, you want fill in the blanks. By 2025, you want fill in the blanks. Now I'm going to assume you have your answers, so please write them down or at least try to remember them as we flow through this sermon today. It would help you reflect back. The next activity, I will show you pictures of three famous Malaysians. Try to guess what these people are chasing after in their lives. Very simple. What is he chasing? You know, if there's anybody who doesn't know who that is, that's Lee Chong Wei. He's a national badminton player for Malaysia. What do you think he's after? What about Tony Fernandez? What is he chasing? And what about the Oscar winner Michelle Yeoh? What do you think she is after? I'm going to assume that none of us are their family members or close friends to really answer this question. Yet all of us would have thought about something that these people were chasing. Why is that? Probably we have seen how they act in public. We have heard them, or we have read about them, or we have seen some of the stories about them on TV. And what does that tell us? It tells us that our actions clearly reflect what we are chasing. I want you to remember that as we move forward. And for our last activity, I'm going to show you pictures drawn from the youth at KLBC. For the past few Sundays, I was privileged and honored to serve them. They're mostly below 20 years of age, young, bright, and passionate kids. And they also know about Jesus. So I thought it was a good opportunity for me to ask these young people at this early stage in their lives, what are they chasing? But I didn't want them to answer me with words. I asked them to draw it on a piece of paper. And I've collected the best masterpiece artwork from them. Try to guess from their drawings what these young people are chasing. Now bear in mind, they're not professional artists, yeah? The first kid was quite simple and clear. Chasing after achievement or being number one in everything. This one is still a work in progress. I'm hoping this person was chasing and trying to find God. This kid was chasing after too many things, so trying to find balance in their life. This one is still work in progress. We're still trying to find out what this person is chasing. This brother said, I'm chasing this. And first I thought he wants to be a teacher. But later he said, no, it's to evangelize. Praise the Lord. You know, chasing to spread the gospel. chasing after grades and a big house. This was the class favorite. Chasing after eat, sleep, and repeat. This kid, we're still figuring out what he's chasing after. A bit abstract. And obviously parents and money and health and good wealth and myself. Well, regardless of our age, at all times and at different seasons in our lives, we're all chasing for something or someone. Today, I only have one goal in my mind, to help you confront deep down inside your heart, what are you after? And I pray for the Holy Spirit to take care of the rest. Let's close our eyes and pray before we begin. Dear Lord, Father, how thankful we are that we belong to different cultures and some of us were not even born Christians. And how thankful we are, O Lord, that you searched for us and we received your word. O Lord, how thankful we are that we were all chasing and running after so many things in this life. But you found us and you called to us. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit may penetrate deep within our heart and convict us for what we are really chasing in our daily lives today. And Lord, I pray that everlasting changes may happen in our hearts and our minds today. I ask this in the most powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:4, for everything was written in the past, was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So today we're going to look at some stories from the Scripture that teach us about chasing. And one such excellent book in the Bible is the book of Ecclesiastes. Some believe Ecclesiastes is about the meaninglessness of human existence. And that perspective is not quite accurate. Ecclesiastes is really about the meaninglessness of life without God. You see, life is transitory. It disappears as quickly as it appears. We are here today and gone tomorrow. I remember when I was with AirAsia, there was this young lady. She was magnificent, brilliant, and everybody liked her. She was a people person. And we all thought one day this young woman will be the CEO of a business. She had two kids. One was 3 years of age and the other was just 1 year old. Unfortunately, one fine morning, while she was on the way to work, she was killed in an accident. God rest her soul. Gone. Just like that. Such is life. We should study Ecclesiastes because it is honest about life and its troubles. In fact, so honest that the great American novelist Herman Melville called it the truest of all books. It is honest about the hardships of life, of work, the injustice of government, of society, the dissatisfaction of chasing after pleasures and everyday dullness of life. We should study Ecclesiastes because it asks the most difficult and hardest questions that people still have today. What is the meaning of life? Why am I so unhappy? Does God really care? Why is there so much suffering and injustice in this world? Is life worth living? We should also study Ecclesiastes because it teaches us what will happen when we chase after what the world offers instead of what God offers. You know, the book opens with King Solomon, son of King David. And as most of you would know, King David was a man after God's own heart. Right? His family tree or line led up to Jesus. And his son Solomon was also known as the wisest man to ever live. And in a very rare occasion in the Bible, God appeared to Solomon when he was still young, and he told Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give you. God himself asking Solomon, make a wish. What would you wish for if God asked you that question today? A big house, Ferrari, gold, diamonds. You know, Solomon was young and he did not wish for wealth or health or long life or strength or becoming the world's most handsome man. He asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him. In fact, the Bible says God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. You know, people from all over the world came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. As a young man, he was chasing after knowledge and wisdom, and he received it more than any other human. Yet, he opens the book of Ecclesiastes by saying, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. And if you have the ESV version, it reads, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon applied and studied by wisdom everything that is under the sun. Yet he concluded that wisdom is meaningless. You know, he also says in Ecclesiastes 1:14, I have seen all the things that are under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. And in verse 18, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Now, can you imagine how Solomon would have felt? God asked him to make a wish, and he wished for something that he was after, and he got it, only to find that it was meaningless. What a big letdown for Solomon. How many of us are chasing after knowledge or wisdom today? I have nothing against it. In fact, with our knowledge, we have done many great things for humanity. Electricity, technology, medicine. But knowledge can also lead to destruction. With our knowledge, we have built nuclear weapons that could wipe out humanity in a matter of hours. With our knowledge, we have built a world that where the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. With our knowledge, we have created drugs that have ruined millions of lives. But Solomon chased after knowledge and he received more than anyone else. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. But not only knowledge or wisdom, Solomon had it all. We are told that he was greater in riches than all the other kings of the earth. The Bible says every year King Solomon received 25 tons of gold. This was on top of all the taxes he got from the merchants. 25 tons of gold. He was a billionaire, probably the richest man alive. So when Solomon concluded that wisdom could not give him lasting meaning, he decided to chase after wisdom's complete opposite. Pure, unrestricted pleasure. He decided to chase after all types of pleasures the world could offer. Be it laughter, be it alcohol. He probably threw the best parties in town. He organized the best entertainment events in town. Yet it wasn't enough. He wasn't satisfied. So he turned to work. He became a workaholic. He built houses. His own palace, we are told, took 13 years to build. Probably the best palace ever. The Bible says his throne was covered in ivory and gold. And it was so magnificent that nothing like this ever existed in any other kingdom. He planted vineyards and parks. He built gardens and he did philanthropy. He even hired many servants to please him and serve him, yet none of it worked. None of it gave him any meaning or purpose. What about power? You know, he had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, probably the best military back in the day. And I would argue one of the most powerful human alive in his time. We are told that all the household articles he had were made of pure gold. Gold cups, gold spoons, gold plates. And he even hired musicians and singers to play and perform for him anytime and anywhere he wanted. He chased after all these things, yet he felt emptiness and meaninglessness. Solomon went after all there is to chase, and he was left dissatisfied. Have you been dreaming of such wealth and power and knowledge? I'm going to assume that most of us sitting in this sanctuary believe the Bible to be true. And if you do, here is the wisest man to live telling us that it is meaningless. And if you're wondering he was crazy, think again. He was the wisest. Something else is missing from this slide. Any guesses? Next, Solomon also chased after sex or sexual pleasures. 700 wives, 300 concubines. That's a lot of sex, more than anyone could imagine. Yet sexual pleasures also proved to be lacking. They were not fulfilling. He poured his heart into chasing everything that is there to chase, and he was left empty and meaningless inside. Now, irrespective of whether you believe the Bible to be true or not, aren't we all like Solomon? Can you relate with him? Aren't we all chasing after meaning and happiness and trying to fulfill our life with all kinds of things? We don't need to hire singers and musicians to perform for us. We have Spotify or Netflix. We don't need hundreds of wives. We have porn. We don't need to build houses and kingdoms. We could do that in a video game. And most of us are chasing aimlessly after wealth. But the real question is, what if you gain the whole world, yet you lose your life? The terrifying conclusion of Solomon chasing after all these things is that he got it. He received everything that he wanted, and it wasn't enough. He writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You know, sooner or later, we all have the same experience. We are trying to find meaning of life, but we come up empty. We indulge in certain pleasures only to be left more dissatisfied than before. Or we are unhappy because we feel we will never do anything important or be someone special. And then there is the biggest vanity of them all, death. Eventually, Solomon concludes that true satisfaction can only come from God himself. He started Ecclesiastes by saying everything is meaningless, and he ends it by saying this. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. By cautioning us not to put our hope in earthly pleasures or worldly pleasures, Ecclesiastes teaches us to put our hope in God instead. And it also tells us that a judgment day is coming. There ain't anything we can do to escape. Our only safety is in the mercy of Jesus Christ. When we look at life from human perspective, you will be left searching for answers and meaning aimlessly. But when we look at life from God's perspective and we chase after him, that's when you find the true meaning of life. That's when you realize the eternal significance of everything we do, including the small little things in our day-to-day life. Life without God is just an empty life. So the question you must ask yourself is, what are you chasing? You know, some may believe I'm a Christian. Surely I'm chasing God. I'm a believer. But you could be a Christian and absolutely not chasing God because in your heart is something else. It could be money. It could be career. It could be anger or hatred or lust. Let's look at more stories, this time in the New Testament, that teach us about chasing. You know, in Mark 10, we see a young rich man who was trying to find Jesus. He was seeking for something. So what he did was he found Jesus and he bent down on his knees in front of Jesus. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now this guy was young and he was rich. For you may feel like it's normal, but back in the days, everybody mostly was poor. They were farmers. Most of them lived under poverty. So this guy must have done something good to build up his life. And later on, he says, since he was a little boy, he has been keeping all commandments that Moses gave. So he was young, he was rich, he respected Jesus, got down on his knees, seems to be chasing after eternal life, seems to be obedient to God, a role model. Seems like from the outside, he's a great follower of God. But was he? You see, Jesus knew what was in his heart. And as we move between stories today, that is the single most important thing. God knows what is in your hearts. Ain't anything you can do to hide it from him. Jesus knew that this young rich man was really chasing money. So shockingly, but intentfully, Jesus told him, why don't you go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. You know, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Yet he told the young rich man to do so because he wanted this young man to see what he was chasing after all this while. And as soon as he heard Jesus say, go sell everything, he overcame with grief and sadness. Because money to him, what the Father was for Jesus. Money was the center of his identity. There is no way he was giving up his wealth to follow Jesus. So he turned away and he rejected following Jesus. And there are many like this young rich man today, seemingly Christians who have made a good life, who are seemingly obedient to God, who are leading up a good life as an example, but really inside, their hearts are chasing after something else. What is in your heart? I don't know. But Jesus does. What is it that you're not willing to give up for Jesus? What are you chasing? And in contrast to this young rich man, there's another story of this Jew called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he was a rich guy as well. We are also told that he was not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. I must give you some background here. So Romans were ruling these guys, and in the Roman Empire, they had very heavy taxes that they need to pay so that they can support their big empire and finance it. And the Jews or the Jewish community opposed these taxes because the money was going to support a pagan empire and pagan gods. And here is a Jewish man taking money or taxes from his own people. And do you know how did tax collectors make money? By overcharging people. So the tax collector took more, kept some for themselves, and gave the rest to the Romans. That's how they got rich. So Zacchaeus was probably the most hated man in that town for his community. A very unpopular, very undesirable guy. In comparison to our friend, the young rich man, from the outside, he looks like a person that you don't want to be around. And one fine day, Jesus came to this place called Jericho, and Jesus was passing through. And there was Zacchaeus. Now, we are told that Zacchaeus wanted to seek Jesus. In fact, everyone would have wanted to see Jesus. Jesus has done many miracles by now. And he's given great lessons and teachings for people. Some were saying, hey, this Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Son of God. Some were saying he's a great teacher. Some were saying he's a healer, he's a prophet. So everybody was interested to meet Jesus. And Jesus was drawing very large crowds. And we are told this Zacchaeus guy was short in his height. So there is no way if he was short, he could see Jesus in a big crowd. Maybe you'll say he could have tried to make his way into the crowd. But people hated him. What is he going to do? Even if he tried, people would have pushed him away. Now Zacchaeus could have just given up. Could have said, bro, maybe another day. There's no point for me to go into this crowd to see Jesus. And how many of us are giving excuses today to come to church early, to attend more activities from the church? Some of us find it even difficult to wake up early morning and be regular at church. Yet what if your boss, maybe the big boss, told you on a Sunday morning to meet them at 6 o'clock in the morning? Would you be late? You know, Zacchaeus in his heart had a great desire to see Jesus. We are not told in the Bible why he had a great desire, but he had it because his actions prove it. So he kind of estimated that, well, Jesus is going to go from here and come. And there was a tree. He went ahead and he climbed that tree hoping to see Jesus and hoping that Jesus would see him. So as Jesus came near that tree, he obviously noticed Zacchaeus. Jesus knew what was in his heart. And he says to Zacchaeus, come down. And listen carefully. Jesus told Zacchaeus, I want to stay in your house today. How amazing God is. There were hundreds of people probably that Jesus could have stayed with. People must have been trying to please him and show him hospitality. and do all the good stuff. There must have been a lot of good Christians Jesus could have stayed with. Yet he chose to stay in the house of the most hated man in that town. Isn't God awesome? You know, Zacchaeus at once came down from the tree. And the Bible says he received Jesus with joy. He also had a big change of heart. He said, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will give back four times the amount. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. When Jesus confronted the young rich man, he responded in grief and sadness because in his heart he was running after money. And even though Zacchaeus was rich, he responded in repentance. And he volunteered to give away half of his wealth to the poor. His whole family received salvation. And even more cooler, his story made it to the Bible. Generations after generations, people have been reading and talking about him. Just imagine, what if he gave up and did not climb that tree? What if he gave up on seeking Jesus that day? What are you chasing? And our last story offers a view into the human heart and the condition of this human nature. Jesus was at Bethany 6 days before the Passover, so he's going to be crucified pretty soon. And we have a contrast on one hand between Judas, who was Jesus' chosen 12 disciples, part of it, and on the other hand, this woman called Mary. You know, there was this dinner being served and prepared, and there was many people, including the disciples. And Mary came out of nowhere with a pint of pure nard, which is an expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet. Not only that, she started wiping Jesus' feet with her own hair. You know, I see some sisters here with long hair. Would you even bother wiping your husband's feet with that? Right. But here was Mary taking two big, bold actions. Research and scholars have shown that this perfume was so expensive that it came in an alabaster jar, probably from the mountains of India. It was imported. And it was so expensive, people don't even use it. They keep it for investment. And here was Mary, without thinking anything, pouring the entire bottle on Jesus. Not a little bit, not half, not 70%, the entire bottle. Not only that, she wiped Jesus' feet with her own hair. You know, back in the days, women were not even allowed to open their hair in public. So she challenged the cultural and the societal norms. She couldn't care less about what people thought. What was she chasing? It is very clear that in her heart, she had great love for Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She held back nothing to offer her worship to Jesus. And as you really think about what Mary did this morning, we must really ask ourselves a good question. Will our love for God go as far as Mary's did? What is it that you're not willing to pour out on Jesus? That is exactly what you're chasing. It is a difficult question to ask yourselves, but it is a necessary question. On the other hand, Judas became furious. He looked at what Mary did and he said, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to poor? This is worth 1 year's wages. Now, some may say, it's logical. You know, why pour the entire perfume on Jesus? You could sell it into the market and give it to the poor. But thanks to John's commentary, we know that Judas didn't give a damn about the poor. He was a thief. In his heart, he was chasing after money. He was the bag keeper for Jesus' ministry, for the finances. And I'm so thankful for this commentary because it shows how fragile the human heart is. This man was one of the 12 chosen people. He saw firsthand what Jesus did. He saw firsthand all the miracles Jesus performed. He saw firsthand what Jesus was teaching. Yet, money was more important to him than Jesus. And we know he ended up betraying Jesus for some 30 pieces of silver. You know, human nature is sinful and we ought to be very careful to not let our sin overtake our desire to chase God in our daily lives. What is the most expensive item you have? Is it a Louis Vuitton bag, a Gucci bag? Is it a car? Is it a diamond? Are you willing to pour it out on God and mission like Mary did? Next month, we have the mission month. Many missionaries will be coming here and giving us the word of God. Are your hearts ready and prepared to give, or are you going to hold back? Friends, life on earth is finite. Our days are numbered. And not only that, time is finite and limited. Within the concept of time, there is this thing called opportunity cost, which simply means that when you do something, you are not able to do any other thing because time doesn't come back. So in this limited life, in a limited time, the most important question is what you are chasing. You could be an unbeliever, a new believer, a matured one. You could be working full-time, part-time, jobless, retired. You could be a pastor, a deacon, a ministry leader. It doesn't matter. You cannot escape this question. And your actions will easily reveal what you are after. And some of us are good at covering our actions, but not from God. Jesus knows our hearts. And how many of us this morning, when I asked those two questions, had spiritual goals inside? How many of us went like, by next year, I want to help bring two people to faith. By next year, I want to finish reading the Bible. By next year, I want to start a connect group. How many hearts went, by 2025, I want to join seminary? By 2025, I want to read 10 books to understand the Word of God better. By 2025, I want to lead a ministry and serve God even more. You know, we do a great job of setting goals and milestones in our life, for our career, for our education. And we spend days and weeks and months and years chasing after those goals, which is good. I'm not against it at all. But what about spiritual goals? The fact of the matter is, where is God in your daily life priorities? Is he number 10? Is he number 7? Number 2? Is most of your time spent chasing after goals in the world? And how much of your time is spent in chasing spiritual goals? Do you even have any? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And in 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. For either He will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. A person chasing after money will prioritize their life around investment and learning and career and so on. For them, attending church regularly or even serving is a waste of time. A person chasing after love will not prioritize work over relationships. But a person chasing after power will not even blink to let go of relationships and people. And a person chasing after addictions doesn't even care. They just want to feel high. The truth is, no matter what you have convinced yourself in your mind, our life is guided by our hearts. And these truths were written in the Bible to teach us, to guide us, to help us correct our paths. Because, friends, God knows we are all going to chase after all these things. God knows, like Solomon, we're going to run after these things and be left wanting and dissatisfied. God knows some of us are going to get hurt really bad chasing after the world. Some of us will have broken hearts. Some of us will feel depressed and hopeless and unfair. Maybe some of us will get everything we wanted, only to be left more empty than before. Some of us may feel, I don't need God. Life is awesome. Only for life to slap you back in your face. An endless cycle, chasing things that do not have lasting meaning. And as Solomon says, a chasing after the wind. You know, there are two types of people in this world. One who are chasing after Jesus and the others who are not. And if you're not yet a believer of Christ, you must be wondering, well, what do I do? And if I chase this Jesus, what am I going to get? You will get the bread of life. You will no longer need to long for other things because you'll be truly satisfied. You would gain the light of the world to reveal the meaning and purpose of this human life so that you can get out of all the darkness that surrounds you. You will have access to the only door to eternal life. Death will not destroy you. You will gain a good shepherd or a true father who is willing to lay down his life for you. You will find the way, the truth, and the life. You'll be able to understand what life is about. And a true wine to help you grow and live a life that God wants you to live. In God, you will still live an extraordinary and a purposeful life amidst its pain and difficulties. You will gain rest and comfort from all the burdens that you're carrying in your hearts, in your minds. You will have nothing to fear because God will be with you forever. And you will experience perfect love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one son. Can you imagine the most powerful being in existence willingly sacrificing his son so that you can be saved? You will also have joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Friends, if you want a true life, you've got to be chasing Jesus. And if you're still an unbeliever, or maybe you have lost your way, why don't you close your eyes right now and tell God that you're willing to chase after him? I will say a prayer for you later and you can meet me after the service. And for those of you who are believers in God, I only ask you to reflect back in your hearts today. Take some time back home to be lonely and ask yourselves this question, what are you chasing? It is time to set some spiritual goals. Those of you who are not attending any connect groups or Bible study groups, perhaps it's time to start doing so. For some of you, maybe it's time to start leading a connect group. For some of you, it's time to understand and learn more about the Word of God. And if you're really busy as a person and you have a lot to do, the easiest thing you can do is pray for others. Create a prayer list about others and pray for them every morning and every night. There is no limit to how much you can serve God. And regardless of whatever situation you are in, please make it a habit of setting and reviewing spiritual goals. Be more intentional about how you are chasing God in your life. Be more intentional about how you speak. Be more intentional about how you act so that in everything you can glorify God. And I want you to leave here, not just today with this question, but in different seasons of your life, you gotta ask yourself, what am I really chasing? Let's pray. Almighty Father, oh Lord, we are so, so thankful and grateful for all that you've done for us. Father, we don't deserve it. Yet your love pours in our lives, in our hearts. Many times, O Lord, we have run away from you chasing other things in our lives. Many times, O Lord, you have been calling to us and reaching to us, but we have been just running away from you. Going after our careers, going after lust, going after addictions, going after different things in our lives. And O Lord, I pray that as we learn today through your words, the only meaning and satisfaction comes from you. Oh Lord, let our hearts, let our minds, let our words, let our deeds chase you in our every single day of our life. Oh Lord, I pray for any unbeliever here who is yet to believe in you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. May the seed that is planted in their heart today manifest into a fruitful tree. Oh Lord, may you let their hearts come back and hold you up high. And Lord, to those of us who are saddened, who are disheartened, who are feeling hopeless and depressed with all the things going on in our lives, oh Lord, let us turn to you and remember that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, O Lord, to chase you and to set spiritual goals in our lives. For all these things, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.